come here.
Okay, let's start by making a graph. So we're thinking operating systems. And we were detectives. AJ, you were gone Wednesday?
Yeah.
Okay. They're going to have to show you their amazing detective project. What did? Can you tell AJ what we did on Wednesday? We tried to figure out the identity of what?
Extensions. File extensions.
File extensions. How did we go about doing that? I gave you files without extensions. So just named chunks of bits, but we didn't know... Well, why does a computer care about the extension on a file? So extensions help us figure out how to open it because it gives us a clue about what?
What's in the extension in the file?
Yeah, how it's structured. What that data is actually, how it's put together. Is it text? Is it a bunch of XML? Is it a bunch of binary data? What is it? So we identified files. We looked at different types of files. What were some different types? Let's review. Some files did what? You made a nice little bubble map of this. Should be in your notes still. What are some different types?
Text file.
So a file that stores text, and that could be used for what? I'm thinking uses. Hey, good morning.
Taking notes.
Pardon?
Taking notes.
Definitely. So we could use it for user data storage. Absolutely. It could store notes as a text file. It could also store notes as a Word document. In which case the file would contain data that's structured in the way that Microsoft Word knows how to inhale it, which is actually XML, which is a bunch of brackets that look like this, XML. Hi, Jake. What were some other things that files can do? What makes certain files dangerous? They're not just storing data, they store what? I mean, not that they're inherently dangerous, but...
Information.
Powerful, not just information. What makes a file powerful? So a Word document is just how to display something on the screen. An HTML document is just where to put the images in the text. But we found that there are some files on the computer that have a special role. Let's do some of those. Open our file browser. And let's jump into your C drive and then program files. Either one of those is fine. And oh look, Microsoft Office, that's handy. Office 16. Look at some of the extensions. I'm thinking about extensions like this one. .exe. OneNote. So here in OneNote, you're here in one of the directories. Now, is there anything in these files that we can make sense of? What if you try opening here's a file that ends in .xml. That suggests that we might be able to read it. So maybe I'm going to try opening this. Open this with... Oh, brackets. I got brackets. Oh, look. No, go away. So this is an XML file. Oh, look. Copyrighted by the Microsoft Corporation. They copyright everything. So this is a file. Would a human be reading this, or a program be reading this?
Program.
Yeah, this is a file that contains data that's ingested by the program. So one key use of files is to store program configuration, program config data. So this would be. And it can be encoded in all sorts of different structures, but this would be an example of is actually, what type of data structure is this? Data structure, people? DLL equals, then a value. Name equals value. Hash map, key value pairs. Great. Okay, so we've got configuration files. What's another role? Can you do it in your notes? So this is just information, just data. I'm trying to think about files. If we go back to program files, FileZilla. Does everyone have FileZilla on there? Try to find FileZilla under program files. Look at this. Look at this file. What's the extension? Is exe. This is the magic extension. What does this extension mean? Try right-clicking this and opening it in Notepad. Does this have any meaning? Open with... Oh, look. What does it not even let us do? What if we say open? Oh my goodness, what just happened?
The last file I opened, I got a bunch of text. When I opened this one, what did I get? What just popped up?
A program.
A program. This is huge. So what's one thing that, what's a key thing that files do? This did not contain just data. What did it contain?
Installation.
This wasn't the install, but it could... Potentially, we could have files that have installation what? The installation process involves telling the computer to do what? We would say this is filled with instructions for actually carrying out tasks. Telling the computer, I need you to make this box. I need you to get these images and these icons. I need you to... fill in this particular sub-box with all of the files. So it's an executable. It's executable in that what are we doing? We are carrying out instructions to tell the computer to actually do something. So it could be instructions for executing on the processor, which may then operate on yet other files. Hey, good morning. It may operate on files, it may connect to the internet, it may carry out all sorts of tasks on the computer. So, in terms of files, these can potentially be the most powerful because they actually do things to the computer. They change the state of the computer. They change the state of the system. And this is often one thing that these do is they launch programs or sub-programs. But when we want to, say, open FileZilla, hey, good morning. When we want to open FileZilla, we really just care about finding the one file that launches this program. And what's going on inside there is it's probably launching a whole bunch of other mini-programs to get this program to run. But we just have to get the top of that structure. We have to get the most, the launcher, the one launcher program. Every program has a single launching executable. So if you have, when you're thinking about, jump down to your file, your start menu. So notice we're used to these. This is how we run programs, right? This is actually a link to an executable file. So choose a program like Audacity, I know is a more self-contained one. If we go to more and then open file location, you're thinking, wait, what? This is a what? It looks like a menu item. Look at this. But what it's actually doing is it's a link to a file. Now notice, this is not the executable file. This is a special type of file called what? it tells you. Shortcut, another word for a shortcut is?
On the internet we have chains.
Trying to activate your brain instead of just telling you things. It doesn't help if I just say it.
Link.
A link, which means that I don't have to, if I want to, this is all of the, this is your start menu. These are all the different programs that you can access. We don't want to store every program's actual data in this start menu file, so we just store a link to it, so that if I want to run Audacity from the start menu, I know how to get to executable. So if I right-click this and say properties, ooh, look. What is this a target to? What's the target of the link in your start menu? A file whose extension is executable. That's how you get a program to go. You run a special file that has instructions. Not just text, not just data, not sound, not video, but instructions that are only understandable by the computer. This file was created from a programming environment that compiled it up into computer-only ones and zeros, so that when you run it, it knows how to pull in all these other files and get the computer to do what you want. So every link that opens a program, at the base of it, has this executable file in it. And that is the basis of launching and working with programs, is you have to go through the file that is associated with that program's start. And this is what operating systems manage. So what do security people think a lot about? They think about executable files, and particularly, if you write, let's go to this executable, file programs, program files, x86, I think you all have Audacity on there, which is a lovely open source audio program. Thank you, updates. I can't do those updates. I have to call someone to do those updates. Program files, Audacity. If you find that executable, so go all the way back to C colon, this PC. Is everyone there? And then right click the EXE's properties. The properties. We really care about security. So if you're thinking about computer security, what you really want is to make sure that files do not, even though it might be an .exe file, the operating system keeps a lock around those, so that only users, only files that you want or that you have trust in, do you actually want to allow someone to execute. Notice that read and execute are different. Reading is just displaying something. Executing is doing the commands. What if the first thing in this executable file is delete all the files in the user's home directory? That would be a really uncomfortable, unhappy thing to have happen. So when you download a file from the internet, you'll notice that if it's an .exe file, Windows will, like you're downloading a file that I don't know the author of and that I'm not going to let it just execute. You'll see that pop up and we'll play with that. So the file permissions are what the operating systems are managing to make sure that only trusted programs are allowed to execute. And so that's why thinking about who wrote the programs that you're installing is important, because installing a program fundamentally means let this code run instructions on the computer. And this is where the major debate of open source versus closed source comes in, which is if I install a program from Microsoft, I am not allowed to see every action that that program is going to take. I have to trust them. You may or may not. The open source world says, I'll let you look at the source code. If you want to see what the executable files are going to do, you can do so. You don't have to install this unless you trust all this code. And this is a major debate, because if you can see the instructions, then you can copy them, and you can sell it. So what Microsoft is doing is it's packaging its particular list of instructions for running its programs. And we don't know exactly what they are, because we only have the computer version of those instructions, not the human version. So that's what you're paying for.
Okay.
Comments on this? Questions? Launchers? Programs? Okay. Now we want to move into trees.
You can hop back to your Windows Explorer and jump to C colon. Let's make a...
This probably drives some of you crazy. There's two types of students. Those that little marks on the board drives them crazy, and those that...
Okay, let's make a graph. This is going to be number of files.
And down here is going to be your name. So Alex and I were working on this.
We can ask the computer to count files for us. So I'd like you to right-click your program files, not the x86. Right-click program files and go to properties. And you'll notice, give it a little bit of time, and if you give it, mine took about 3 seconds. Look at that. Holy buckets. My program files contains
this high-level directory. A directory is a box that we put files in. 57,000 files? 57,000 files. That strike anyone as quite a few? Alex is like, yeah. A lot of files. 16,000 folders. What's another word for folder?
Directory.
We should always say directory because the folder is kind of nonsensical. Again, folder was made because they wanted to shield you from understanding your own computer, which is it's a directory. Folder, there's nothing folder-like about it. So here's me. I'm Eric. So I've got, I wonder how the scaling's going to go. Who's got, what's the highest count you've got out there? I need to figure out how to scale this axis. Mine's, so here's 60K. What's the highest we've got? Anyone got more than 60? Okay. Anyone got lower than 40? 40,000 files. Is everyone in between 50 and 60? Okay, good. That means we can do this. So this is dot, dot, dot. Here's 50, 52, 54, 56, 58. And 60K. So let's make a bar graph here. I'm 57,726. Okay, who else is out there? AJ, how many do you have?
57,657.
Well, so close. That's so close, I might not even be able to.
Yeah.
It's really close. Anyone have anything different above or below 58 or 56? Are you all in that range? You all probably got the same mirror, exactly the same file structure. Okay, well this graph was a bust then because it's all looking to me like that. So now on our note page, I'm going to erase this. If you came in and didn't get a sheet of paper, who's got the paper? And who doesn't have paper needs to get paper. I'll need it some more. Is there any paper? You got it? It needs to be clear paper because we're going to draw on this. So much for the graph. Where's my eraser? If we did this on your home computers with the file count, then we would have had some interesting stuff. Okay, so you fold in your paper in half. The big question is, so please write big question in big fonts. How does the operating system
organize all the 56,000 plus files in program files directory. We want to try to, we're going to unpack this question over the next week. How does it organize it? You can annotate. When I mean organize, I mean, what's its structure? How is it put together? So you're a computer engineer and someone says, okay, the user of your computer wants to run potentially 100 different programs that together takes 56,000 plus files. You've got to figure out a way. What are some design requirements for accessing these files? How is a user going to feel if starting one program takes 45 seconds and then starting another program takes about 3 seconds? Is the user going to enjoy that difference? Logan says no. Leah, how about 45 seconds to open a program? Is that acceptable this modern age?
I would say no.
Yeah, no one wants to wait 45 seconds. It would take that long if Microsoft Word has to, Microsoft Word might be 1,000 of these files. It might have to read a couple hundred of these to just open a Word program. A file says, what's the default template? What's the... does the user like dark background or light background? Last time the user opened the program, what was open? There's all these pieces of data that a program needs to open up. So when we organize the files, the operating system, the application programmers are expecting the operating system to be able to get the files the program needs in a decent read time. So one of our design criteria is... we need mostly even and short read times for all the files. That's very important. This might go without saying. In terms of the operating system, requirements for the operating system, what's even more basic than you can read them quickly?
Do they work,
meaning they're getting there.
They're whole?
They're whole, yeah. So they're intact, Matt?
Read them accurately.
Yeah. So that you can get them. You know where they are. So they're intact files, and their known location. You don't lose them. It's not like whenever I put anything in the cab of my truck, it enters this space of unknown location. Sometimes it'll take weeks before it gets excavated again on top of all of my empty sheets bags. So the known location is important. Computers have to keep things in a place where they can get at it. Now, I'm hoping that by you seeing this, this is not a particularly easy thing to do with 57,000 files. What would be the basic way you'd organize these?
Alphabetically,
in a great big what?
Directory.
And that would give us basically a alphabetical files that start with A, go here. And then what do we call this? Files that start with B go here. What does this look like? Yeah.
Those trees.
This looks like a tree?
I'm not a tree, sir.
What does this look like? You're thinking ahead. So you start at the top and you go all the way to the bottom. One long line. Mike?
Starts a list.
A list! Option one. List.
single t-shirt. Disadvantage, advantage. So, what's an advantage of organizing stuff by a list? Sir Doug, we've been waiting for you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
What's the advantage of a list? To make a to-do list, the first advantage of a list is that they're simple. We all make lists. We often make lists. Yeah. Yeah, so it does have a structure. It has some sort of structure. It's structured. Now, let's think about how we could organize this list about it.
Sorry, you are 30. Okay, good. We're doing that.
So jump into program files. Now, okay, so we have 57,000 files organized in here. Now, notice we are seeing a bunch of files in a list here, but excuse me, I take that sentence back. We are seeing things in a list. What are we seeing in this list? None of these are files. These are actually the directories containing other files. So, we're already getting to a downside. How are we dealing with things that are inside other things if it's a list? Let's jump in. If we jumped into one of these,
I want to unpack this. Oh, let's go to Git. Etsy. Look at all those nice config files. Look, this is the configuration file from Git.
So, these are files in a list. So, one way if we want to. Let's say that Git wants this particular file, fstab, which happens to be a really, really important file. It stands for file system tabulation. So if this file is in a list and this program wants it from the operating system, remember, what are we thinking about? We've got hardware. So these files are stored in what part of the computer? The hard drive. What kind of storage is that?
Non-volatile.
Daniel, do you agree? Non-volatile means what? You can get help. Jose, do you know? Logan? Volatile person is like, wah! All the time. You never know what mood they're going to be in.
Stationary and non-stationary.
I like stationary as a synonym. In computer land, non-volatile means what? If I unplug the computer, what happens to the data? Jake? From your hard drive?
No. Yeah. Let's see. I'm not sure.
If I unplug the computer, the hard drive's data, does it stay intact or does it go away?
No,
yeah, so non-volatile storage means it doesn't require electricity to keep the state of that organization system. So our hard disk drive, and then we have our operating system here. Remember, we do it in stacks. So the application, like Git Bash, doesn't know how to get something out of the hard drive. It only knows how to ask who for something out of the hard drive. What layer can it talk to? Your program, Git, Word, Chrome, these are all applications. None of them know how to get to the hardware. They have to go through what?
An operating system.
Yes. Do you agree? Caleb, you're going to get everyone's brain turned to mush. I love your engagement. So, yes. So, when we're saying, we're asking, how is the operating system going to go about figuring out how to get the right file at a decent time with them intact up to whatever application wants them? So we're investigating these structures. In a list format, one way that it could do it is it could say, okay, in this particular directory, program files /git/etsy, I've got a list of files, and it could number them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, six, seven, eight. It could go, give them all a number, 0 through 57,100, blah, blah, blah. And when a program wants that file, we have to figure out the right number, and then we have to run a bunch of code to figure out where on the hard drive does file number six in this list actually live. Which is an option. But it's not a very good option, because if I have a list of 57,000 files, so if I have file 1 all the way through 57,000, here's 57,001. What if the file that I want is number 60,101? If the way that I'm searching for that file is I look at file 1 and I ask, is it fstab? No. Is number 2 fstab? No. So read times on a list. What if it happens to be the second file? I got great read time. It just happened to be the second file. But if the file that I want is actually the 40,000 files down that list, I'm stuck waiting for the hard drive to look at 40,000 files to find the one that I want. So I have not met my criteria of a mostly even and short read time. I have very unpredictable read times with the list. It's very unpredictable. Okay, so that's enough board time. Here's an interesting story. I've had the experience of being able to go to colleges where there's lots of thoughtful people designing complicated things. And my graduate work was at CMU. I was not in a fancy department at CMU, but I was around them and I could see them. And what you see them doing a lot is walking around, kind of pacing, looking up. Guy, kind of looking engaged. It's not like they were on their phone. They weren't like waiting for someone. They were thinking. They were designing stuff. You see a lot more of that. I was surprised at how much of that I saw. People just kind of soaking up something around them. So we're going to go outside and we're going to draw pictures of trees, because it's going to help us answer this question. How does the operating system organize all the 56,000 files in program files or any other directory? And then what we want to be able to do is compare organizing something in a list to organizing something like a tree. And we're going to figure out exactly what we mean by organizing something like a tree. We're going to do so by talking about trees. So you've got your hamburger paper. You're going to need a clipboard, and you're going to need something to write with, to draw with, that is dark. So I've got markers here. You can use pencils. You can use, if you've got a pen, just make sure it's not a pink pen or a light blue pen. What else?
Do you want the classroom?
Pardon?
Do you want the classroom?
Yes. I could. We can ask them to lock them when I'm with them. Okay, so you got your paper. Here's your clipboard. So grab a clipboard on the way out. We're going to meet right out front of the building. And we're going to go get inspired. Okay. Turn it back on with the recorder. Quite a bit of time with the tree that you choose. What happened to Doug? Oh, there's Doug. Okay, all right. Is Einstein on? Okay. Okay. So we're gonna meander down there, but I want you to take your time and think about a tree that looks interesting, that has something. Now, the problem is all the trees don't have any leaves on them, so they look a lot the same. They look pretty great. Maybe you like the big one. That's a good one. I want you to
start to do is think about how the trees are different.
We're going to be thinking a lot about how trees are structured down to the branch level. So you'll want to be able to explain and think about how your tree, what choosing this here tree, this cute little tree, what makes this tree different in structure than this tree. And we're going to learn how to describe those differences as a computer sees them. But we have to start by describing them as humans see them, because this is where the original structure came from. You can imagine you're designing your computer system for 57,000 files. So take a little walk. There's a bunch of nice trees down here. If you have boots, you can drop off. We want you to choose your tree, and then we want you to make the best drawing you can of the tree with as much accuracy as you possibly can muster, okay? I'm going to come around and also photograph the tree that you're drawing in case we need a record. And that'll be important as we go forward. So spread out. You're going to take a good couple minutes to draw your tree. You don't want to get sloppy. It's very important. There's lots of big trees down here. There's this here tree by the car. It's very impressed. I think he's a budding artist. Caleb's got some good branching going on. Okay. This here tree is going to be our exemplar. Make sure that we have some visual stimulation. Okay. Great. So put your name, your first name, somewhere on the bottom, because we're going to pass these around and do a little bit of exercises on them. And as your sensation comes back to your fingers, anyone feeling the burning in your fingers when the enjoy that. In the summer, when everything's the same temperature and it's warm and gross, you'll think, "Wow, I wish I had cold," and then you can remember this moment. Okay. Criteria, list. So go ahead and detach the paper from your clipboard, use the name on it. And then I'd like you to swap papers with someone nearby. You can do a three-way trade if you so desire. Look at these great trees. There's Doug's tree. Matt's got a tree. These are good looking trees. Okay. Now you've got someone else's tree. Unfold your paper and make a little note. So you're going to try to describe this person's tree in writing, using English, on the other side of the paper. So don't write on that half sheet, because that's going to get scanned and put in the archives. So you're on the side next to it, so you've got their paper unfolded. They have a tree, something like this, tree. You're going to describe the tree over here. So Jake will put his name. Jake's describing this tree. I want you to try to describe the tree.
I want you to think creatively about how you can describe the tree.
Yeah. Oh, let's get an additional paper.
I will type, okay.
I need some additional paper. You can type it and print it if you want.
I can staple it either way.
We will recombine. Anyone else need additional paper?
Oh, those are good. These are great trees. These might be the best bunch of trees we've ever had. I want you to, we're trying to bridge your brain into thinking like a computer would describe trees. But I don't want to spoil. It doesn't help to tell you things. I want you to discover things.
That's where it gets meaningful.
You're thinking of different ways you can describe it. You could count things. You can measure things. You can describe things. I want you to convert this tree into English symbols. Or numeric symbols. What you're counting, what you're measuring. There's a lot that's going to come out of that little tree, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't know it yet. He thinks we just drew a little. Oh, that was Doug?
Yes.
Doug, look at you. Some with action going. You were describing a organic structure. Just like a computer, we can describe digital structures. We build structures in computers. That's the exciting thing about them. How are you describing this tree?
Pretty good, I guess.
What did I say? What did you write?
Starting to count on the points.
Oh, great. That's good. That's good. Yep. Shall. Okay, meet back up with your partner and try sharing descriptions. I want you to be identifying what did your descriptions have in common? What made them unique? Have a conversation about trees. You never thought you could have such a conversation. Who would you
welcome?
Okay. It's a tree.
Good.
That's very important. What is the structure?
Yeah,
great place to start. I see. Okay. And how do you describe it?
I don't know.
You got it, bro.
Yeah.
Between. I'm liking it. Logan, how'd you describe this tree?
So it's a large tree that was very long, and it had branches with sub-branches, and the sub-branches didn't have branches.
Okay, great. I like it. Branch? Sub-branch. Okay, let's get some vocabulary. This is great. This is so good. Logan said, branch? Sub-branch. Now, AJ, I heard you describe Mike's tree. Could you do that again? You had a couple of key terms there.
Lopsided.
Anyone else have something about symmetry? Jake, anything about symmetry in yours? Did it either you described or was described by you?
But
it's okay.
I thought it was pretty good, like a core stem with branches that grow to different branches.
What was that last word? Leading?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Mike, you had...
Lots of space.
Space. Space between what?
Branches.
So something about space or... Anyone have words like thin or any spatial words? Yeah. Long what?
Branches.
Long branches, okay. Space between branches. Other words. Duck?
Yeah, he's long.
Core, stem, long. Anything else in the symmetry world? Lopsided, curved, leaning?
Thick.
Thick? Oh. T-word.
Trunk.
Anyone else have the T-word? Did you have...
Trunk.
Yeah. Trunk. Oh, my God.
Like the motherboard.
Trunk. Motherboard. It's amazing. Others? Keywords that are coming out? Alex? What do you have? What did you get in yours?
Branches and sub-branches.
Branch, sub-branch. Now, you had this bud thing, Mike. Can you tell us more about that? Which was your tree? Can we look at your tree? The buds was on AJ's or was on Mike's?
It was on the one I drew.
It was on the one you drew. Can we pull you up?
Yeah.
Help us find you. You were wearing...
Yeah, that's me.
That's you.
Yeah.
This was your tree?
Yeah, you went this over.
Can we get... I don't know if we're going to get the buds. Maybe. It was backlit. This is it?
Yeah, they were like real time, just like dark squares on them.
Dark.
Circles.
Look at all this branching. Oh my goodness gracious. It's pretty good resolution, but I don't think this is too backlit. But you had this idea of a bud. Did anyone else have anything like buds or points? Look at this. These used to be what? These used to be burrs. Let's make some inferences. Some of you have seen trees, not in the winter.
I did write that down. I said in the summer they grow leaves.
Oh, leaves. Oh my goodness. Leaves. Okay. If you meet up with someone that you did not just change trees with, and this is where you're thinking, this is where brains get just, they just turn on, and start doing all these magical things. I would like you to, based on whatever you know about computers and file systems, I'd like you to try to make, this would be an analogy, we're comparing a physical thing with a digital structure. I'd like you to try to make connections between what you know so far about file systems
operating systems and computers, I'd like you to try to come up with computer terms to match at least these and any more that you have. And then I'm trying to deduce these things instead of just tell you them. So I want to see what comes out. What would the core, what might the stem of a tree represent in terms of files? What might the leaves represent in terms of a file system? So I want to give it a try. This is with a partner, someone that you did not just chat with. So the easy partners are done. The turnaround and find the closest person. So you might have to hop aisles or hop rows. It's important that you get a different brain than the one you just spoke with. This is brainstorming. There's no wrong answers. There are no wrong answers. Caleb's up here in front. Logan, do you know Caleb? Or did you already meet up? Okay. Jake, do you know Caleb? What's up, Caleb? Great. And Brody, do you want to work with?
Yeah?
Okay. You can use your own pages. This is brainstorming.
So like we're just
So recreate this list and look for connections. Lopsided leaves, subbranch. So try recreating that list. I expect greatness from this pair.
Yeah.
Two of you brains together, that's a little much, a little overwhelming. Oh, I heard the R word. Do you add it to your list? Please add root to the list. And don't do the list here, do it on another. This is gonna get scammed. You don't want to include it. Perfect. Brilliant. So there's no wrong answers here. Don't be afraid. Okay, let's hear some brilliance. Tell me what you're coming up with. Middle group, Mike and Logan? Any ideas?
Trunk, we have the main file folder.
Main file folder, okay, great. AJ, Alex? Anyone you can add to our list?
For
first core we put motherboard.
Ooh, I like it. Okay, so this is thinking hardware. I like it.
It's two in front.
I heard nice words coming up.
That would be a file extension.
Ooh, I hadn't had that one before. File extension, that's cool. Stem.
Okay, great. Sir Doug? Sir Scott?
Leaves
as files.
This is critical. If you don't have this, put this in big letters and then trace it again. This is the consensus in the computer world that we think of a leaf as a file. So in the winter we have fileless trees. Others, this is great. Jose, Daniel? Ooh, there we go. Great. Directories. Another word for directories is?
Folders.
Yep, directories, folders. Exactly the same thing. There is no difference. There's not two types. Same thing. So files inside directory. Okay, excellent. What about what did you come up with for lopsided? Someone had to try lopsided. I know you two tried lopsided.
I'm shredding the from the biological side the inappropriateness of the analogy. It's all good. This is great for computers.
It is great. Someone has to have an idea about lopsided. What is the analogy in the computer world to a lopsided tree? Okay, virus. Now we're brainstorming. This is where you get some interesting thinking when you're willing to write something like that. Other thoughts? These are great things. Buds? I know you have an idea. I can see it in your eyes.
I have no idea.
No idea. Okay, it'll come to you.
Would that be
programs? Maybe a program. Yeah, like, it has, it's like the file that when it's activated, it becomes this larger thing. A bud could become an entire branch. Yep. Long branches or thick branches. Space between branches.
Free storage.
Yes! 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 Free storage. Great. Great. So, space between branches. A thick branch might be... A drive, I like it. A drive. A disk drive. This is brilliant. This is brilliant. Okay. Virus. This is so good. Virus. Any other ideas here? A lopsided tree. Okay.
I mean, if that happens, you're going to have a lot of files in some folders and a lot in others. I mean, like, downloads is going to be, unless you never go on the internet.
So,
downloads folder alone.
Help us get to something to write on the board. Lopsided might, the analogy on the computer land might be, a set of directories that are what? Maybe unevenly distributed or filled with data, maybe? Okay. All right. Good. Now, our final... past, I would have printed up something fancy, but... Okay, you can take your... If you can please keep these in your folders, I will scan your trees by Wednesday so that we can all look at them. So please put your white sheets back in your folders if you want to jump back to your seats. And then the green sheets are going to be your out-of-class inquiry assignment. Green sheet of paper, you can put your name on that. The only thing I would like you to do is start to let this percolate a bit. So your question is, I would like you to find a, your question is, why did we draw trees in computer class? Locate one trustable source shed light on this question. Okay, one trustable source. Summarize your findings in 2 to 3 sentences. Write the name of source. That's it. Again, our goal here is for me not to tell things. We want to try to discover our own path through this. Use of tree-based data structures is so common and so clever that it is, in fact, I think it's the thing that kept me in awe the most as I was learning about computers, was how many layers of cleverness and usefulness organizing things not in lists, coming up with other interesting ways to organize them, most notably trees. And so I don't want this just to be notes of me on the board. I want us to do some digging. I want us to do some thinking. So with that, we are set for the day. I'd like you to, when you come in, we're going to have our pictures. You'll have done a little bit of poking around. Just jot a few sentences down. This is not a big deal. I just want your brains percolating. It's like making tea. You got to let it steep. I promise that this will get ingrained in your brain and will help you in whatever future technology-related endeavors you find yourself in for the rest of your life. That's a bold statement, but I'm willing to stand by it. It's that important. It's that clever. It's that cool. So if you could please drop my... you can drop your folders, and I'll put the clipboard bin right next to the folder bin. And have a lovely Wednesday. I'll see you some Monday. I'll see some of you... and enjoy your day.
It had been that before.
What's the paper about?
College.
Anything interesting?
Oh, there's so much cool stuff. That's too bad.